अजब सी अजब सी अदाएं हैं, दिल को बना दे जो पतंग सांसें, ये तेरी वो हवाएं हैं।
So, Saab, this is your first time in Mumbai. Are you from America? You look American. Yeah, you're definitely American only, I think. And you said you were going to Hubli, right? Saab, that's a long trip. You know, I used to work there for a while. Actually, you two remind me of these other Americans I met over there once. It's a pretty good story, actually, and I'll tell it to you. Apparently, they met on a plane from Bangalore to Hubli.
Hello, sir. What would you like for lunch? We have chicken or Indian vegetarian?
Vegetarian, please.
And for you, miss?
Hey, what do you want?
Oh, chicken, please. Thanks.
No problem. What was that you're listening to?
Oh, she's this really amazing speaker, Bhushana Karandikar, who I recorded back in Bangalore for my radio piece.
Radio? Never met someone who works in radio. That's really cool.
Thanks. I absolutely love my job. I'm Julia Kiesling.
Nice to meet you. My job is actually kind of similar. I work for this travel blog. I'm headed to Hubli right now to make a sequel for my India blog. You must have read it. I'm Mark Epstein.
Nope. Sorry.
Oh. Well... So, what brings you to India?
I'm making a piece on food security. Last week, I recorded in Maryland, and then I recorded in Bangalore, and now I get the chance to go to Kumta.
Wait, food security? What's that?
Well, it's basically a combination of all the factors that contribute toward hunger, like the affordability of food, the amount of food produced, and the ease of food distribution. It's really important for countries to increase their food security because currently, about 1 billion people in the world don't get enough to eat. That's 1 in 7 people.
Oh, I gotcha. So you're going to India to interview starving children and tell the world how horrible that is?
No! I mean, sure, people are suffering and that's why it's important, but the issue is so much more complex than that. And if you're going to be offensive about it, I don't think I want to continue this conversation.
Oh, sorry. I really didn't mean to offend you.
Hey, if you're not convinced, I'll play you a clip from the Bhushana talk. It was really good. Here, take my headphones.
You all are children of plenty. You don't know what the famine is, what the drought is. I remember, as a child, as a 6-year-old, we had a huge famine in 72. Our agriculture policy, I'm talking about policy, is predominated by our embarrassment, by our anxieties, how to feed ourselves. We all are affected. This is a real, real Indian dilemma, and I'm very happy to see all of you together. I'm sure if we can put our heads and synthesize and energize this issue, I'm sure we will come with some kind of answer. Things
wow.
are complex.
Wow, she does sound really inspiring. You know, that got me thinking. I know a great place for you to do your radio piece.
Really?
You know where Circe is, right? Well, the villages surrounding it grow and produce food. It's pretty much their entire source of income. And it's so far off the road, I bet no media has ever been there. It would be super unique.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I bet your audience has never seen...
Heard.
Right, heard. Sound from a rural farming village in India.
But I think I'll stick with my original plan. I arranged for a car to take me from Hubli to Kumta on the coast to see their Arika Nut Trading Center.
What? Are Arika Nuts an important food source or something?
Well, no, but they're a major cash crop in the area and are really important to the agriculture. People chew them as mouth fresheners after meals, kind of like a mint. The tradition is thousands of years old and has a ton of cultural significance.
Okay, I gotcha. Still, the villages will probably be more unique. Like I said, I'm going there when we land. I wouldn't mind sharing a cab.
I think I'll stick with Kumta.
Oh, okay.
What? What do you mean there are no more cars? I had one reserved.
I'm sorry, but that was a mistake. Don't worry though, I have arranged a solution for you.
Yeah?
A gentleman reserved a car to take him to Circe and has kindly offered to share this car with you.
Oh boy.
The driver will take you both to Sirsi, drop him off, and then go on to Kumta. He's in that car, over there.
Hi, Julia.
Of course. Hey, Mark.
We'll be going to Sirsi, then on to Kumta.
I'm so tired. I'm not quite on India time yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired too. But it's so worth it to stay awake. India's just such a gorgeous country with... Okay, you're asleep. Never mind then.
Happened?
Madam, there appears to be some sort of problem with the car. But worry not. I should have it fixed in no time.
How long is this going to take? I have an interview in Kumta tomorrow. Where are we anyway?
We are actually in Halusarige, madam. It's a small village about an hour from Kumta.
Oh, that's not so bad. I might as well get some sound while we're here. The road is unpaved and the soil's red and dusty, but I guess that's because it's the dry season and... Ooh! What's that?
Whoa, wait up! Why are you so fast? I think we're in elementary school. Not sure why they're sitting in these two rows, though.
Shh, Mark! I'm trying to record!
Excuse me, can I help you?
Hi. Our car broke down over there, and we heard the children sing so beautifully, so we came running.
Oh, that was the Sanskrit prayer before the midday meal. Oh, and I'm terribly sorry about your car.
Wow, you speak English very well, if you don't mind me saying.
And I should. I'm the English teacher here in Halusarige. My name is Deepa.
Nice to meet you. I'm Mark, and this is Julia.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm here to write for my travel blog, and Julia is here to work on a radio piece about food.
Perhaps you could talk to the villagers here, and they would happily give you more information to help you with your stories. Oh, and if your car is still broken down, it would honor us if you would both stay the night in the village.
Oh no, you're too generous, and we're not planning to...
Oh no, no, please, where else will you go? Please, it would honor us very much.
You know, it's so hard to deny the hospitality here. I really think we should take her offer.
Mark, I have a meeting tomorrow, and besides... The driver said he'd fix the car in no time.
What is this nonsense? I was sure that dad would fix it.
On second thought, we might have to take you up on that offer.
You know what, Sab? I'm glad that they found a place to stay at night and nicely explored the entire village all afternoon. You know, I can't stand when people watch me work and just keep asking and asking when the car will be fixed, you know?
Whoa, look by that tree. What are they doing?
It looks like they're chopping down coconuts. Reminds me. I got this really interesting interview on the bus in Bangalore from a guy who grew up in a rural village. Listen to him talking about the coconut trees. I'll admit, the quality really isn't that great. I'm not sure if I'll end up using it.
It's an Indian concept that something that's useful to you should be not thrown away when it stops being useful. Coconut gives them hemp for rope, the leaves for thatching the roof, gives coconut milk, coconut oil. So coconut trees are revered in these parts. It's a part of the culture. You do not throw away old parents and cows and dogs.
Don't throw away the parents. You really love collecting sound, huh?
Yeah. But isn't it fascinating how much they can get from that one tree? Hey, look over there. What are those women hitting up against those big curved blades?
I don't know. It looks like some sort of little brown nut with a furry shell.
They must be areca nuts. Look at the huge piles surrounding them, though. I wonder what they do with them all.
Yeah, that sure is a lot of shells to get rid of. Hey, check it out. They're digging in that field over there. See the way the earth is cut into those giant steps? I saw that in China, too. It's called terrace farming. Those steps help retain water when it rains, and they also help prevent soil erosion.
Whoa, imagine the man hours that go into cutting those terraces. Oh, hey, you see all these little brown bits scattered throughout the field? They must be the areca nut shells we just saw. I think they're using them for mulching.
Hey, look over there. It looks like they're using that stone cylinder for crushing straw. That thing is huge. No wonder they need an ox to pull it.
It looks like so much work for a simple task. I mean, in the US, I'd bet there'd be a machine that you could just feed straw into one end, and after a few minutes, you'd have crushed straw streaming out the other end. Everything is so mechanized these days. I mean, there are even tractors that drive themselves.
Wait, what?
Yeah, check out this clip from a farmer I interviewed in Maryland.
GPS on the tractors for guidance. It actually just bought an attachment that will allow the computer in the tractor, based on the GPS receiver up on the cab, to actually steer the tractor across the field. So,
but isn't it hard to imagine something like that here, with just oxen and enough manpower? They somehow manage to produce all that they need to.
So I took a break from fixing the car to stroll around the village and found Julia and Mark face to face with a...
So do they just like use the cows for milk and fertilizer, like in the US?
Yes, but the manure is sometimes dried to make bricks for houses and is also used for their household biogas generators.
Biogas generators?
Yes, it is basically like this energy source that runs off cow manure that's processed into gas. The slurry comes out as waste, and it also makes a rich fertilizer for their fields. Actually, my brother has one, and it cost him a lot of money, but I think it was well worth the investment.
Really? I would have never thought cow dung had so many uses, especially generating fuel. The people here don't waste too much, do they?
So the next day, Julia and Mark joined some of the villagers on their way to the market.
Wow! In all directions, there are stands with mounds upon mounds of mangoes, coconuts, bright red tomatoes and onions, green and yellow bell peppers, and look! There's a whole stand devoted to dried red chilies. It's so densely packed and busy, it's so overwhelming. I'm not sure who to approach first.
Are you talking to yourself?
No, I'm narrating my sound.
Okay, I guess I'll just go wander around.
No, let's walk around together.
Let's go talk to that guy with the beard. How do you record? Is it this button?
Wait a second, he probably doesn't even speak English.
Shh, I'm way ahead of you. I already asked for a driver to come meet us here so he could translate. He's picking up a part for the car right now.
Madam, sir, I actually found the part. So you tell me who you want to talk to first.
How about that dude over there selling vegetables?
Hello, may I interview you for a radio program?
No problem, ma'am. I'm sure that he'd love to.
So tell me, as a vendor, what sort of problems do you face?
Ye pooch rahe hain ki vyapari kya mushkilon ka samna karte hain. Ma'am, he says that in the rainy season, it is difficult to store food because the vegetables become rotten.
So a lot is wasted during the rainy season. What about waste the rest of the year? What do you do with the excess produce then?
अब ये पूछ रहे हैं कि अतिरिक्त उत्पादन के साथ आप क्या करते हैं? Ma'am, actually they're saying that they feed the extra to the cows.
Thank you for your interview. In America, the excess produce just gets tossed at the end of the day.
And here, even the cow's waste is used, like in the village with the fertilizer and biogas.
It's so interesting to see the contrast. Where should we go to next?
Welcome back. The whole village is coming together for a harvest festival tonight. Everyone's pitching in to help cook.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yeah, we really couldn't have survived here without you. We truly appreciate it.
Of course. Now come with me to Mr. Hegde's house and I'll introduce you to everyone. I've asked Prashant, who is fluent in English, to sit right next to you.
Oh man, I've never eaten so much in my life.
Yeah, kind of amazes me it's all vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting how back home, a lot of people don't consider a meal complete without meat. But here, it seems like a meal isn't complete without rice.
I don't blame them. This is delicious. Hey, Prashant, is all this rice grown locally?
The rice is a local variety which they grow in this area. The rice is washed and the water is used for feeding the animals.
Hey! Just like the excess produce from the market, they certainly use everything around here.
Wow, that was some amazing food.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, just... we've seen so much in the last day and a half. I feel like... living here is just so different from living in America in the city. I mean, back home, you always hear people talking about sustainability. You see green stamps on more and more products in stores. But it seems almost comical to compare it to the kind of sustainability they've got here. They really do try to use every part of everything they have.
Yeah, I guess we do take a lot for granted. I mean, we waste so much of what we have, just think nothing of it. Such a different mindset here.
Madam, sir, the car is fixed. We can leave whenever you are ready.
Oh, great.
Yeah, thanks. It's already looking pretty late. I guess we should probably head out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I should probably go work on radio.
I guess I should probably go blog.
Okay, well, good night.
Good night.
Hello? Hello? Testing. Testing.
Okay.
Okay.
May 11th, 2011.
A small village called Halusarige outside of Sirsi, India.
Let me start out by saying that this trip has been nothing like I thought it would be.
I ended up here by chance, traveling with Mark, a guy I met on the plane.
I ended up here mostly by accident. And a small crush. We met on the airplane from Bangalore. And when the small airport in Hubli ran out of taxis, how could I turn her down?
I didn't really have a choice but to go with him in that broken old car.
Right from the start, things didn't turn out quite like I planned. But I'm glad. No, very glad we got stuck here. And it turns out, this village, it's not so bad.
This place is amazing. They don't waste anything. The areca nut shells, the cow manure, the market produce, the rice water, the coconut trees, and the rainwater.
From the land terraces to the straw crusher techniques that have been practiced for generations, they might not be as efficient as a GPS-equipped tractor from Maryland, but at least they're sustainable.
They're sustainable because they have to be. They don't have the resources to leave two huge trash bags on the curb to be hauled away to some landfill.
It makes me wonder, is it possible for us to achieve the same level of sustainability as they have? Or does progress mean giving that up?
I wonder, is it a matter of incentive? People back home just don't have the same need for sustainability. It's more of a choice. Here, they're held accountable
for any wasted resource, because it's that much harder for them to get by. And they understand what goes into every morsel of food. The water and soil nutrients. The labor and time and resources.
Maybe it's because they're so connected to their food.
And it seems like in the U.S.
And whatever progress has been made in agriculture back home,
that connection has been lost.
That connection has been lost. This story was brought to you by Terrascope, part of MIT's Office of Experiential Learning. Much of the sound in the story was recorded on a trip to India, funded in part by the Baruch Foundation. This piece was produced by Bruce Aronson, Maria Cassidy, Ryan Friedrich, Jessica Fujimori, Esther Jang, Claudia Lea, Catherine Materna, Linda Seymour, and David Wise. We would like to thank our guest stars, Jessica Haria, Rory McDonald, and Visha Pai, and Siddhant Pai. We also thank our instructor, Ari Epstein, and our teaching fellow, Alex Kiesling, for all of their guidance and support. Thanks also to Terrascope Director, Professor Sam Bowring, and Terrascope Administrator, Deborah Axel, for making the trip to India possible. We would also like to thank the Earthwatch Institute and the villagers of Halusarige for their warm hospitality. Saya hai teri nazron.